All right, Kevin Gelati, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Thanks for making time.
Yeah.
Dude, 2017, sum it up in a few words if you can.
I'm not one to use the epic word very often, but it's been an epic season for me.
Yeah.
Two television shows, unexpectedly, never planned for those. Those came my way. Those were fantastic experiences.
Yeah.
Just outside the top 20 in the NBC series
uh-huh.
at age 47. Got to be happy with that.
Young and 47.
I've had somewhere around 11 or 12 podiums so far this year. Two national championships in 45, 49 with
nice.
USA OCR and the US OCR champs.
Yep.
37th race today, 38 tomorrow if I get up and race.
Oh, my goodness.
So, like, this is – I'm living a dream.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And I'm very well of that when I wake up every day that I'm living a dream, and it's awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been a long season, but it's probably gone by quickly. I remember our first conversation was actually at Castaic last year, and just, like, the character that you are. It's, you know, just you've had a huge impact on this community and this sport. But what would you say that you've learned about yourself in these, like, 38 races, these two national championships, all these podiums, the good races, the bad races? What have you learned about yourself as an athlete within this sport?
You know, what I've learned, I feel like, in this season alone is I'm a lot more confident in my ability to come back from mediocre performances.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lot better at being able to transition off the obstacles, which
yeah.
I think is one of the biggest issues that as athletes we deal with on these obstacles
totally,
is getting
yeah.
off of them and being able to get back up to speed better.
Yeah.
So I've learned some methods that I use that allow me to perform in that respect better. I've learned a bit more about what it takes to recover,
yep.
to be able to sustain the training level that people see me on Instagram doing, which is the real deal. Like, I
yeah.
don't make any of that up. That's really who I am every
uh-huh.
day.
Yep.
I don't cash posts and save them for a week later. That's the
yep.
stuff I do that day. So, and you know what else I've learned? I've learned to love the sport more than even my previous sport.
Yeah.
The community, the people that come together, the positivity,
yeah.
the camaraderie. I didn't have this in the sport that I came
uh-huh.
from. Life didn't work like this. There was
yeah.
so much animosity and anger and mad dogging everybody that it's great to see the sport unfold in a positive direction where everybody's really supportive.
Yeah, and like I wanted to touch base on that. So you know, I love what you're just raw. You talk about you've been competing for 28 years now. What's your background? What were you competing in and like at the level that you were? And then what's been kind of like the hardest or most difficult time transitioning into like OCR?
Yeah. My background is about 25 years with USA Triathlon in the
okay.
sport of duathlon.
Okay, got it.
I have 8 All-Americans within USA Triathlon. I've been on maybe a dozen duathlon world championship teams. My last duathlon world championship was 2014 in Spain, and I was the 5th fastest American on the team at age 44.
Yeah.
I've raced in probably, according to my records, maybe 300 to 400 races in just that sport alone.
Wow.
I've raced in maybe 20 states, maybe 15 countries.
Yeah.
So you're looking back at roughly the late 80s, early 90s, I have consecutively raced coming up on the 28th year at the end of this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And how did you, how did you get into USA Triathlon? But then why did you transition to OCR Spartan?
This is no joke. I owe everything I've done in athletics,
mm-hmm.
which is my entire life. This
yeah.
is the life I want. It's the life I live.
Yeah.
28 or more years. Those are the years I really count as being competitive, but a few
yeah.
before that. Based on a bet with a friend
no way.
In college that I couldn't compete in a duathlon and finish it.
Wow.
Not only did I go out and compete in it, I did it on a mountain bike
yeah.
with slick tires and a camelback. This
Perfect.
Was at the 90s at the University
yeah.
of Iowa.
Oh, my gosh.
Called the Dare Duathlon, and I had such a great result. This is no joke. I knew that day
Yeah.
That I had stumbled upon what I wanted to do with my life.
Yeah.
I knew. And everything else at that moment became secondary to me. And that's how it happened.
Yeah.
Transitioning out of that and into OCR, there was a couple things that happened for the stars to align.
Okay.
By 2014, I had already been contemplating wanting to pull out of duathlon because at that point, 20-something years, I had won national championships, been on world championship teams. I had competed in powerman distance. I competed in sprint distance. I competed in every distance, in every scenario, with every best person in the world that you could imagine. Yeah. There's really nothing more to accomplish
in that sport.
In duathlon.
Yeah.
And I knew the writing was on the wall. But I'm such a competitor, I knew I needed something.
Yeah.
So in 2011, another friend stepped forward and said, you need to come out and check out this race in Temecula called the Spartan Race. And all of my friends who I race with were all like, Spartan Race? What the hell's a Spartan Race? Come on.
Uh-huh.
We do mud runs. They're badass. We know exactly what we're doing. Right?
Sure.
We went to the Spartan Race and it changed everything in 2011 in Temecula about what a mud run was. It was right then at that moment that we all knew this was not a mud run. Yep. This is nothing like a mud run. Mm-hmm. And at that stage, I continued to do Spartan races and obstacle course racing that didn't conflict and interfere with my duathlon career.
Okay, so you're still sticking with duathlon?
Absolutely. It was still my focus. I still did more. I did world championships in France while I was still doing. I did world championships in Spain.
Man.
All while I was doing obstacle course racing, but obstacle course racing was my focus. By 2014, as I said, I knew I needed to get out. Yeah. I wanted to get out.
Yeah.
I was just... If you can go to races and you're guaranteed to be a winner,
mm-hmm.
it loses its interest.
Wow.
People may think that that sounds great, but if you're truly a competitive individual, you lose the impetus and the motivation to want to become better when you know you don't have anybody to push you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the place that I had reached.
Yeah.
And somewhere at the end of that 2014 season, I had mentally decided I was going to go all in Spartan racing and obstacle course racing in 2015. Yeah. All in.
Yeah.
I literally walked away from 25 years of something I dedicated myself to.
Goodness.
And went all into a full schedule, a full travel, going for the Nationals, going for the NBC series, everything. Yeah. I went all in.
Yeah.
And a part of it was I wanted to reinvent myself as something else, not only to see if I could do it.
Yeah.
But I knew obstacle course racing was for me because of what obstacle course racing brings to the table relative to my type of mentality.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's just crazy. And so my next question is, like, you go from being the best of the best in a sport. You transition into...
up there.
Okay.
I don't ever want to claim I was something I wasn't, but...
And I respect that humility. So competing with the best of the best, right?
Definitely.
You transition into OCR, and you're new to the sport. How did you respond to not being at the very top?
Believe it or not, I responded far better than I expected.
Okay.
And I think that's because what I had learned from my previous sport tempered my aggression and disappointment level when I wouldn't be, say, a top 10.
Yeah.
Because remember, at that point when I make that transition, I'm in my early 40s.
Yeah,
I'm 41, 42, 43. So let's be honest. What can I really do? So what I had to do is reinvent myself, find out where my niche was, where I sat at the dinner table, what my place was at the dinner table, and then try to exploit the hell out of it to my benefit.
Yeah.
So rather than get too upset about the fact that I wasn't literally a first, a second, or a third, when you got people like Hobie Call.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You got people like Ryan Atkins coming.
Yeah.
All right? You got people like Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
You've got so many fast people coming to the sport. I could see the writing on the wall pretty early.
Yeah.
I was never going to be a player at that level.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at where I could be a player at,
yeah,
in the Masters category,
yeah,
and worked my ass off to try to own that category. Mm-hmm. So rather than giving up and saying, you know what, I can't do anything here, I just looked at it as, this is the next challenge. This is the next route I want to go. How do I make this something that I can own?
Yeah.
And build a brand and a name around in a totally new sport.
Mm-hmm.
And it was perfect timing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was timing. I walked away from duathlon and walked into obstacle course racing at the perfect time.
Yeah. And has the Masters level, you've been in the sport longer than I have. When was the Masters level implemented?
So, Masters level was 2014, 2015.
Okay,
so it's
so
only
right
been a couple of years. It is, technically speaking, kind of a made-up category within Spartan Race. So when you look at endurance sports racing and how the categories are break down, let's say pro, elite, and then the five-year age group spans, there is no such thing as Masters elite.
Yeah.
Now, I want to compete with the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so at every race, I went to win. Now, I knew I couldn't win, but my mentality is to go win.
Yeah.
But what I knew I could do is I knew I could be a winner. Literally, I can win the Masters Elite category.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got enough podiums now to know that,
right,
to prove that with my rankings in Spartan Race, the Elite,
mm-hmm,
the World Elite, and the and our U.S. Championship Series have proven that I have that ability.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew the way that I could make the best name for myself and try to impact the most people,
mm-hmm,
because that was the other thing I wanted to do that I didn't do enough of in my previous sport,
okay,
was to do it in this Masters Elite category.
Yeah.
And prove to people that being over 40 doesn't mean you're done.
Let's go.
It doesn't mean you can't be a player.
Yeah.
You can absolutely be a player. It's a mindset,
right,
and a commitment, but you can do it, and I've proven that.
Yeah. There's so many, like, questions that I want to go on with this, but I mean, I guess we got the time, you know.
We got as much time as you want.
That's right. I just want it to flow well. So where do you think the sport is going? 2017 into 2018, we've heard talk. There's been, you know, it's been buzzing of this sport. This sport is at a turning point, and you've been part of the evolution. So where is it going, and what role do you want to play within it?
Let me give you a little bit of history on that relative to what I've seen, because I think it plays a role.
Okay.
So I was into duathlon, triathlon when that was really starting to become a legitimately true sport. Now, we're talking about the Mark Allens, the Mike Pigs,
mm-hmm,
the Greg Welches, the Paula Newby Frasers, the best in the best that still hold records now in that sport. I was there when that was happening,
mm-hmm,
participating and racing with those people as that was happening.
Yeah.
Then mountain biking came along. I was there for mountain biking. I jumped on that train. I've raced a lot of mountain biking. I've ridden mountain bikes in Canada. I've raced them in Utah. I've raced them in Colorado.
Yeah.
So I have a significant history of racing background in that. I was there in the beginning of that when literally the first steel mountain bikes were made all the way through. So I saw the growth of that sport.
Yeah.
So there's a second sport I've started to see the growth of. When OCR happened in 2011 is when I give it a kind of official start, because that's when really Spartan Race had its first true full season around the United States. There were a few races before that in 2010, but that's when it really became set in stone. From 2011 till now, I have never, ever seen a sport that has grown as fast as obstacle course racing.
Wow.
Never.
Yeah.
A huge part of that is because of social media.
Totally.
The other part of that is because anybody can participate in this sport, and there is not a barrier to entry,
mm-hmm,
that's relative to price like there is duathlon or triathlon, where you need if you want to be a player, you need a $10,000 or $15,000
bike. For real.
One race can cost you $300-$500. All you need to come to one of these races is an entry fee and good shoes.
Yeah.
Of course, training.
Right.
So the barrier to entry is minimal for this sport.
Mm-hmm.
So we have seen races that brought a few hundred people.
Yeah.
We can now put 10,000 people through a weekend through one course.
Right.
It is unlike anything I've ever seen in sport.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's kind of the history of what I've seen so far.
Yeah.
Where I think it's going.
Mm-hmm.
Spartan Race, because that's the brand I race with.
Yeah.
Everybody not everybody, but people have their brands.
Yep.
Some are this brand, some are that brand, some are some other brand. I'm a Spartan Race guy. This is who I believe in. This is who I support. I believe we are the gold standard in the industry.
Amen.
I believe that people look at us for how it's done, and then they take what we do and use it in whatever race brand there is.
Mm-hmm.
By being the gold standard in the sport, we're trying to push for the Olympics.
Yep.
I have no doubt in my mind that obstacle course racing will be in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And we will do it faster than triathlon ever did it, and faster than mountain biking ever did it. Because the excitement is there.
Yeah.
The interest is there. The what can happen during a race as it unfolds is exciting as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Races can change in a matter of seconds because of one obstacle.
Yeah.
You can't just be a fast runner.
Right.
You have to be good at the obstacles. And I think the route we're going for that, and the only route that appeals to the IOC, which is the Olympic Committee, is more of a sprint distance.
Right.
So
but
that's
like a,
why,
but like a sprint distance, right?
Yeah. So that's why we're seeing some of these time trial type distances, or the TMX distance.
Yeah.
Where it might be 1 mile or 2 mile, balls out.
Yeah.
Red line, I mean, literally heart exploding red line. And some people don't understand what that means because they've never felt it.
It's a great feeling.
It's a phenomenal feeling if you can maintain it.
Uh-huh.
But I think the evolution of the sport will be towards the Olympics.
Yeah.
And will be to more of those sprint distances.
Okay.
Time trial type. So you have, you know, and maybe you have something along the lines of qualifiers.
Mm-hmm.
So in a day, you might race three times. That would not be uncommon. You do a heat, then you do another heat, then you do another heat, and those people go on, and they're your qualifiers.
Yeah.
We will always have sprint, supers, beasts, ultra beasts. There's always a mark for that. People love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the true direction is going to be in that high speed, high action. One critical error, it's game over. There's a lot on the line, and it's go, go, go from the moment the gun goes off. I think that's the direction we want to see it go.
Yeah, but I'll ask you this. Like, what do you think makes up Spartan and Spartan brand? You know, it's the technical terrain. It's the mountains. It's the heavy obstacles, right? It's the unknown. If we're going to transition over to Olympics, don't they want something, like, along a track? And it's kind of taking Spartan out of like what it is.
Well, it may not be necessarily on a track as we both we might be talking about, like a runner's track.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you look at other sports in the Olympics and they can happen on mountains.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be user friendly and viewable, but with the technology today and drones, the wire systems you see with cameras, it's doable.
Yeah.
Now, can you have a 5 mile race where people go 2 miles out of the course and you can't see them anymore? No.
Yeah.
So you definitely need them in a contained area, but you can definitely get an off-road course within a contained area.
Yeah.
Do you need to get away from heavy, heavy carries? Yeah. Do you get away from carries? No.
Okay.
But in a race like that, we don't need to be lifting and carrying 100 pounds up a 15% grade.
Yeah.
50 pounds that you can run still breaks your rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still move, so you can still feel like you're racing. So the tempo is high and the pace is high, and you can still have those elements.
Yeah.
But just like we do with the sprint,
mm-hmm.
we cut back the distance. So what do you do in an Olympic race? You cut back the weight.
Yeah.
You put in more technical obstacles.
Yeah.
We don't have these throwaway obstacles
mm-hmm.
like some of our walls that have no real purpose other than to break your stride, break up the rhythm, spread people out.
Yeah.
You go for the more technical stuff, like our multi-rigs, right?
Yeah.
Like the twister.
Mm-hmm.
You do stuff like that that's very technical and takes a lot of skill, but you eliminate some of the fluff, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
That's where it happens. And let me say this. Relative to the Olympics, it doesn't necessarily mean it needs to be a Spartan-branded Olympic race.
Right.
But what it is we are trying to put the money and the effort and the impetus into getting it into the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Of course, do we want the name and the brand there? Well, yes. Yeah. That's what goes without saying. But if we can get it into the Olympics, it benefits everybody. Mm-hmm. And if you can have a big picture view of obstacle course racing, then you realize whether your brand is on it or not, and of course you want your brand on it, we all win.
Yeah.
Because that brings sponsors to the table. Mm-hmm. That brings dollars to the table.
Yeah.
That brings exposure, television time to the table.
Yeah.
Everybody wins, and that, and if it goes that way, we're all gonna win in the end.
Yeah, that's so true. So I guess, like, what do you want your role to be in this sport?
It's important for me at this stage to try to give back to the sport.
Okay.
Because I was nothing but a taker in terms of duathlon. Mm-hmm. I never volunteered. I raced and went home.
Yeah.
Trained, came back, race, went home. Trained, came back. That's all I looked at it as, as an avenue to get what I needed.
Yeah.
Towards the end of my career, the older I got, the more I matured, the more I started to realize I had taken so much and I had really given nothing back.
Yeah.
And I've been looking for a way to do that, but never really found a way in duathlon to do that because I didn't want to be a race director. That has no interest to me. But the groundswell movement in obstacle course racing gives me that opportunity to reach and touch people you could never reach and touch.
Amen, yeah.
In triathlon and duathlon, especially because how much social media plays into that role and how you can get concepts and views and methodologies and protocols out there for people to see. So the role I would like to see is getting into a governing body, which I'm doing right now with one of the newer governing bodies that we're trying to get put together, which is USAOCR.
Okay.
Because every sport that's a legitimate, true endurance sport and Olympic bid has to have a governing body.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really have Spartan Race or any other brand be a governing body because there's a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
You have to have a governing body separate from an actual race company so that there is no impropriety there about benefiting people or terrain or obstacle types, etc.
Yeah.
So a governing body separates itself from whatever your brand is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're trying to do with USAOCR, and that's who I'm aligning myself with because I feel like we need that governing body to look out for the athletes and to promote our sport, not necessarily a brand.
Yeah.
Again, all brands win,
totally.
But we need to promote the sport, and we need to look out for the athlete. We need to promote the athlete. So hopefully, I can do two things. I can be on that governing body, and I can make a positive impact because I have the history and the proven ability in my athletic career and currently, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to get these things done because I have that history.
Yeah.
Second, I would like to continue what I do on Instagram, which is my only outlet to show people training types, methodology types, to motivate people to get excited about the sport and show them training methods you can use and come out here and do one of these because anybody can.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what, I mean, you briefly like explained like what this sport and community means to you, but could you go just a little bit deeper now, you know, coming from duathlon and then being in this sport for the last 2-3 years, what does this community mean to you?
Well, I've been in the sport since 2011, but I really doubled down 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
So I've done every Spartan race we had on the West Coast from when we started. But again, if duathlon, that always took precedence,
okay?
But when I threw and went all in 2014, 15 roughly, I knew it was unlike anything that I had experienced in my previous sport. The community, the people, the setting, the positivity. So for me, I've never felt so drawn to something as I felt with this sport.
Yeah.
And I think it comes from not only being able to reach a certain segment of people, which I do, like 40 plus people.
Right.
I'm motivating people other than that, but really the 40 plus people. I believe in the sport. I believe in what we're doing. I've seen the impact. And so it's taken on a deeper visceral role for me internally that the previous sport I was in ever took from me.
Yeah.
I can't necessarily explain exactly on every level why that happened, but it connects, I guess, with my soul, with who I am, with how I see the world. Obstacle course racing just involves so many aspects of being an athlete. Endurance, speed, problem solving, tenacity, all these different elements. You just don't see that in a lot of sports. And there's something about that that just appeals heavily to me. And because I've been there since the game started, and I've just kind of stumbled into that active role, I want to see it going. Because I think I can make a difference in help this sport go somewhere where I think I was too late in duathlon to be able to fit myself into a position that would have made any sort of difference.
Yeah.
Because the mentality with USA Triathlon was already locked in.
Yeah.
The membership, a governing body, was already locked in. They didn't want to hear about newer methods. That's why I feel like that sport is languishing, because they are not keeping up with the way we are evolving. And how we register.
Yeah.
The whole experience, the whole event, it's bigger than a race, and that's what people need to understand.
Yeah.
This is more than just the race, it's a whole experience you're buying into. If you can buy into that mentality, then you can understand this is far bigger than just the sport of OCR.
Yeah. So true. This is so good. Transitioning now more talk to you about you as an athlete. So one thing that I really appreciate and respect and admire about you is there's no excuses, there's no BS. It's like we're on our way walking over to here. You're just like, you can't show up and have a good race and expect a podium. Like, you have to have a great race. Like, where did you develop this like mental state?
I think I was born this way.
Yeah.
I think that because it's been this, my type of mentality has been with me since I was a kid, according to my parents.
Yeah.
And then as I stumbled across it in duathlon and saw the drive that I had to win and compete and the level that I wanted to perform at, when I look around at the best people in the world in sports, you have to have this mentality.
Yeah.
You have to have a belief in what you're doing, a confidence in what you're doing. You have to be willing to sacrifice. People think this is all, when they see you doing these types of things or on the podium, that it's just a big party, and it is not.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, at age 47, I'm as strong and as motivated and as excited now as I ever was for my previous sport.
Yeah.
And I really feel like the only way that can happen is because you were born with it. Because I've spoken to enough people to know whether they have it inside or whether they don't. So what, I may have had that and been born with that aspect, but I also started to develop it and promote it internally within myself, because I knew if I wanted to get to where I wanted to go and do duathlon and obstacle course, there couldn't be any bullshit. There just couldn't. Like I said today, you can come to these races and you can have a good race, and there's nothing wrong with having a good race. I had a good race today. But if you want to play against the guys that you want to play with, which I know you do, and that I want to play with, you can't come here and have a good race.
No.
You have to come here and have a great race if you want to stay on the podium. And I go to bed every night, and I wake up every day, and I train every single day with that thought in my brain. And it never diminishes it. And I don't lose focus of it. I do not compromise on it, which is why I'm single. And every ex can attest to that fact. But it's the life and the lifestyle I want. And not everybody's built for it. And not everybody's willing to dedicate like that to it. You can have certain people that show up on this scene that just have natural talent. And they will dominate. And I can easily name names. My question is, will we see those people in 3 years? Will we see them in 5 years? Do they have the tenacity to see this through? Or will they burn out? I've seen burnout 99 times. I've seen very few people be able to handle it and manage it as a long-term career.
Yeah.
That's the best explanation I can give you as to how it works for me. I don't know why. I just think that I'm just one of those guys that has that singular drive and focus where I can block everybody and everything else out to get to what I want in this world, and this is what I wanted.
Yeah. How do you deal with individuals who make up excuses, you know?
I have zero tolerance for that, which is why I have very few friends.
Yeah.
I surround myself with very few people because I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to hear about people's endless injuries, endless excuses.
Yeah.
The world is full of fucking excuses.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of respect for people that play that card continuously. And I see that a lot in sports. Not just this in this sport. I saw it in my other sport. I see it in lots of sports.
Yeah.
Because it's a hell of a lot easier to get up and explain a lack of ability to perform on an injury than it is to get your ass out there and throw down against the best guys and girls week after week after week.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
People start to find out very quickly on that what they thought was going to be really easy turns out to be really difficult.
Yeah.
The game is a lot harder than people think. And so issues develop. And it's a matter of, do you see those issues through and get on with life?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you mire yourself down in whatever bullshit is happening and allow it to take you away from what it is you want?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen with me. My 2001 accident demonstrates that.
Yeah.
My house burned down in 2000. I was in a fire. I still drive forward every day because it's something I believe you have or you don't have, and excuses reign supreme in this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people don't want to be held accountable.
Yeah.
And you know what else I found? People really don't understand what the meaning of hard work is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't try to say that from an arrogant standpoint. I say that because people think they're working hard. And then they come to an event like this, and they find out they weren't even close.
Nowhere close.
They have no idea what really hard work is.
Yeah.
And so I found that people that think they're working hard, they're really not.
Yeah. Going into some other, like, you've made statements of, you know, it's not me versus me. Like, it's me versus you and my competition, you know?
Yeah, okay, so that's kind of a segue from your previous question. I do not buy into, in any way, shape, or form, this whole me versus me, you versus you mentality. I think it's horse shit.
Yeah.
I think it's great for the people that want to come out and just find out what they're made of.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got nothing... I don't hold anything negative towards that mentality for that segment of people.
Yeah.
That is not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am here to beat you.
Yeah.
I want to crush you.
Yeah.
I want to hurt you. I want to mentally and physically damage you on the race course.
Yeah.
But guess what, dude? I want you to do the same thing to me.
Exactly.
I expect the same in return.
Yeah.
And if you're not out there to take me down and to hurt me and to make me suffer, you're in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the type of people that I want to surround myself with.
Yeah.
I'm at 28 years of racing, I'm way beyond the point of going out and doing events to find out if I can do them.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's been thrown at me that I haven't completed or done.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can do it. What I want to know is, can I do it better than you?
Yeah.
Can I do it faster than you? That's what I need to know every day. So it's like every day in every race is kind of I'm retesting myself.
Yeah.
I think it's a disease. I'm not saying it's healthy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good for you. What I'm saying is that's how I think. You're only as good as your last race is something I heard decades ago, and I believe that.
Yeah, you preach that a lot.
I do, because I feel like you can't live on your past accolades. You can't sit on your haunches and just think things are going to come to you. You have to go out and you have to get them, and you have to work hard for them, and you have to sacrifice for them.
Yeah.
And so my mentality is, every race I do, I'm trying to reprove to myself, not you, I don't need to prove shit to you.
Yeah.
I've proved enough to other people that I'm past that stage in my belief.
Mm-hmm.
I go out there to find out and to know that and to reprove to myself that I have it, but also to make you suffer.
Yeah.
I want to beat you.
Right.
And I want you to come here, and I want you to put a target on my back,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to take me down.
Yeah.
Because that's how you're going to get the best out of yourself,
mm-hmm.
and that's how you're going to get the best out of me.
Yeah.
It's no fun to go to a race and just sandbag shit and win. Because when you're up there on the podium and you're looking around, you know you won because you had no competition.
Yeah.
And you go to bed at night. You know that inside.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel like that.
Yeah.
I want to feel like a win or a podium finish was fought for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And nobody can take that feeling from you when you get it.
Yeah. And in this sport, like, yes, you have to fight for every single
podium. Today's
race
came down to 7 seconds.
Yeah.
I have had races that have literally come down to 1 second this very year.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to take it to the line, and you got to go redline the entire time. That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be prepared to have that within your soul and to fight for that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people find out it looks easy on TV, and it looks really cool when you see the photographs and the video footage.
Right.
It's not that easy to get there.
Yeah. That's so true.
And again, I don't say that stuff to be conceited or arrogant, because I know I'm an aggressive guy and I come across a certain way. I get that.
Yeah.
I've been hearing that my entire life.
Right.
But I really believe that the best people in the world have that mentality, mm-hmm. and see the world that way.
Yeah.
Because that's how you get to the top.
Yeah. And I mean, I respect that about you, like, so much. Because, I mean, you talk about how awesome the sport is, the community, the friends we have in it, right? But same way, man. Like, I toe the line with you, and I just feel like I'm out here to win. Like, I didn't show up to, like, have a training race.
No.
You know, I didn't show up to just get miles under my legs.
But you know, dude, that's one of the excuses. You see, so you got the excuses, let's say, about I'm injured.
Yeah.
Okay? And listen, people get injured. I'm not saying people don't get injured.
Yeah.
They do. But there are people that legitimately milk their injuries far longer than they should.
Yeah.
I've been around enough to know. I've had a broken back, a broken arm, a broken leg. I've had blood transfusions to survive. I know what it takes to come back. And I know what takes too long.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, I'm not talking about those people. What I'm talking about is, it's a mind state and a way of looking at the world where you're going out to win.
Yeah.
And that's the way you approach every race.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes you know it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, within the opening, I know within the opening 100 strides
yeah.
into a race how shit's going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I have it. I know when I don't have it.
You talk about injury. You talk about when you know it's been too long or not too long. I understand you suffered an injury in 2001. Explain what you learned during that and how you've been able to bounce back 16 years later. Be able to look on that. I'm guessing that you think about that accident, that injury, those injuries every single day.
Yeah. Yeah, because they changed my entire life. So
yeah.
In 2001, I had just come back from Europe for a duathlon world championship. I was home about 12 hours. I was out on a cool down ride, and I was hit by a truck. It was doing about 65 miles an hour. Came across three lanes, threw me about 75 feet, broke my back in two places, my left arm, my left leg. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. I was in the ICU, which is 24-hour care, for
yeah.
2 weeks, which is virtually unheard of.
Oh my gosh.
I had two blood transfusions to survive. I was in a year of rehab. I went from a bed to a wheelchair, to walker, to crutches, to not learning to run again, but having to run again.
Yeah.
Over a year span. I was told I would never race again.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely never run because of the damage to my back.
Yeah.
Possibly be able to cycle again, but duathlon, I was in my 30s, and physiologically speaking, males really hit their peak in their mid-30s. And I was in my mid-30s.
Yeah.
Dude, I was on fire
yeah.
when this happened.
Yeah.
And it changed everything because I thought my life was over.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I found out. Doctors are very negative. And hospitals are very negative. But they're negative because they can't give you too much hope. Because if they give you too much hope and things don't go in your favor because you don't do your part,
right,
they do their part and they fix your bone break. But you don't, you do your part and do the physical therapy and the work it takes to come back. You come back and you blame it on them.
Right.
So I feel like from what I saw, it was the most negative, depressing environment to go through if you really want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, as I have already told you, with my mentality, to double down.
Right.
And I looked at this as telling my doctors, you guys, you're dealing with an outlier.
Yeah.
And if you know that what a bell-shaped curve is, most people fall in the median of that bell-shaped curve. So in the bell-shaped curve, I was telling them, I'm not the guy in the medium. I'm an outlier. I'm going to do this. And so rather than giving up, I mean, if there was ever an opportunity and ever an injury and ever a reason to get out of sport, I had it.
Mm-hmm.
I was screwed up, man.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have to have somebody help you go to the bathroom and wipe your butt, you know you're at the lowest of low. I lost 100% muscle mass. I have photos of my bicep being thinner than my wrist.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't get any lower than I got.
Yeah.
I lost it all.
Yeah.
I had to literally start from scratch. That proved to me, especially where I'm at today, not only what I was made of, it proved to me my mental strength, but physically what I was made of. But it proved to me you could come back. And it proved to me that if you didn't get up and you doubled down and you saw through the dream you wanted from the beginning of having this active lifestyle, then you knew you could either give up or you could take it serious.
Yeah.
I quit my job. I went into physical therapy pretty much full time. Fortunately, I have the resources to do that. I understand not everybody is. I get that.
Yeah.
But 5 days a week, I was in therapy, and I was making it happen. And within a year, I was back and racing.
Wow.
And that changes your life because if you're fortunate enough to come back like I was, it makes you appreciative of every single thing in your life.
Yeah.
So when I have a bad day racing like I did at Tahoe World Championships, the last place you want to have a bad day racing, it's the World Championships.
Yeah,
it's the world stage, the best of dice. I had a mediocre at best race.
Yeah.
I don't get too upset. Why? Because I'm fucking alive.
Yeah.
And I can get up every day and do this.
Yeah.
And my body works and my mind works. I have the motivation. I have the skill. I have the ability. God gave me the gift. And I use that gift every single day.
Yeah.
That's actually when I became a Christian.
That's awesome. I
was in the hospital bed.
Man.
Asking, why would you do this to somebody?
Yeah.
Somebody who had so much going on. I mean, that's a whole different story. But
dude, we're going to get you on for that.
That's literally, that's no joke. Like, that's really how it happened. Dude, and I never looked back. I bought in 100% because I realized, here's one thing people tell me that I really want to be crystal clear to people. The situation I'm in has zero to do with luck.
Yeah.
That accident was not about being unlucky. Where I'm at in my life relative to my athletics isn't me being lucky.
Amen.
Me coming back from that accident was not luck. The results I have in my athletics is not luck.
Yeah.
I bust my ass, I work hard, and it's because it's the way it's supposed to be. I'm not a world player in the OCR stage. There are other guys that have that. But I'm good at what I do, and it's not out of luck. I don't believe in luck in any way, shape, or form.
You and me both.
That accident that I was in was supposed to happen to me.
Yeah.
And in a way, it was the most horrendous thing that ever happened to me, and I would never wish it on my worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the best thing to ever happen because it gave me something that I didn't have and one of the most important words to me, and that is perspective.
Yeah.
It gives you perspective about what matters in life.
Yeah.
It gives you perspective about what's really important.
Mm-hmm.
What do you really want to get fired up and upset about?
Yeah.
And that perspective transitions into this race, and it transcends because when things don't go my way 100%, you don't ever see me walking around this venue pissed and
moping
upset
around,
and moping and kicking the ground because, man, I'm here.
Yeah.
And I'm in the top percentage, and I'm doing what I love to do. How do you hate on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. Praise God, man.
True that.
Well, we're going to wrap this up here, but I just want to affirm you. You are honestly the man, and you are having a huge impact, positive impact on this community and this sport. and I just respect you and admire you, your perspective. That's what I was going to say even before you said that, but your perspective on life, the sport, and just the gifts and talents that you've been given. So thank you. Keep doing it. And I know that you're having a bigger impact on this community than you probably even think. So keep it up, Kevin. Last question for you.
Sure. I appreciate that, by the way. That's very humbling, and it gives me goosebumps to think that I don't know. I'm just a guy in a suburb in Carlsbad, California, in his garage, busting his ass.
Yeah.
I don't really know the impact I'm having until people tell me, so it's very humbling, but very motivating for me to continue to do what I do, to think that I'm helping somebody out there come out here and race.
Well, dude,
it means everything to me.
Take it and run with it, man.
Yeah, I will.
Last question. I'm interested to hear your answer. What would someone have to give you to do 500 consecutive burpees? A new gun?
Ooh. Yeah, there's a couple pistols on my want list that might do that. I'm not the kind of guy that gets sucked into weird shit like that. But you would probably, certain rifles or pistols I'm interested in, yeah, I would do that for 500 burpees.
Nice, love
but
it.
But just to go out and prove I can do it, shit, no.
Yeah.
I want to put my energy into racing.
I feel that, good. And last, I want you to use this platform, plug yourself, Kevin Gelati. Where can we find you on Instagram, Facebook, other platforms?
So the only social media I'm on is Instagram.
Okay.
It's the only one I'm ever going to be on because it's visual. I'm a visual guy. It's what my job is. It's my background. So you can either read the verbose amounts of things I write or don't.
Yeah, it's
but
great.
I generally try to make it interesting to read and fun to read, and I try to make cool and neat pictures and videos so that it's more than just slapping something up.
Yep.
I put a lot of production time into making that.
Absolutely.
So on Instagram, it's just straight Kevin Gelati, KevinGellotti. My website is the same, Kevin Gelati. That's where you can go see the actual visuals from that accident, the comeback story, the photos of just how brutal it was. And I have photos from every race and just kind of nonsense like that, but it might get you motivated.
Yeah.
So those are the two places you can find me, KevinGellotti.com, or just Google me.
Yeah, you'll find it.
Yeah, I've raced long enough that somehow, somewhere, I'm on Google for race stuff.
You guys, you got to check this guy out. Super
inspirational.
And Kevin, thank you again for
being on
the podcast.
Yeah, hey, man, this is awesome. Yeah. It means a lot to me. Thank
Good.
You.
Blessings. Thanks for listening to the TFC Spartan Podcast. If you liked this episode, be sure to follow me at Prof Spartan on Instagram and check out more episodes on the Fitness Compass Podcast on iTunes. If you are currently signed up for a Spartan race, go to www.thefitnesscompass.org/Spartan to join our TFC Spartan competition team to prepare yourself for victory. I'm Chuck Hewitt, and as always, remember to embrace the suck and suffer well.